Colonel Collins, Reel 10. We're talking about the period when the battalion was occupied in the Garigliano Valley or area, and you were telling me about the German machine guns.
Yes. A particular thing on them was they fired the Spandau machine gun. The correct name was Machine Gun 42, actually, and I think. And but they fired traitor ammunition. I think thinking to intimidate us, you see, but of course you can see the stuff going overhead, and I mean I can remember now just lying quite comfortably in this dugout, and the tracer bullets were going about 10, 12 feet overhead. I knew they weren't going to hit me even when I stood up. So I mean I scarcely bothered to wake up really, so I mean it was a completely futile gesture on their part. But so that was a general sort of thing. I just one little thing, I put one other sort of bit of local thing. Streams of rain, that's a Cornish expression, by the way. Streams of rain. Anyway, streams of rain from midday onwards. Came back to battalion HQ area, wet through, morale almost nil. Spent most of the day trying to get dry, unsuccessful.
Now, I wanted to ask about this because even in the battalion history, it says everyone was very tired and war-weary. Now, when you say the morale, was that generally everybody's morale was very low, or just yours in particular?
I've probably been to myself and my platoon. I mean, you know, you can sense when you get and everybody's at low ebb.
Was there any signs of that in the way men performed their duties that you noticed? Or people becoming less enthusiastic about taking risks, perhaps?
Yes, certainly you get... you know, if it was necessary to detail somebody off to accompany one on a patrol, you know, you had to think twice. Well, now who can still take this sort of thing?
What would happen if you took men who couldn't take it anymore?
It would be a liability, wouldn't it? One tried hard not to do it, and I mean, sometimes needs must sort of thing, and one had to.
Some people have spoken about people, well, it's like in the First World War, shell hole droppers, people who you thought were behind you when you were doing something, and then when you looked around, they weren't, or when you came to the crunch, they weren't. Mm-hmm. Were you aware at this stage of any of that, that people would disappear when there was trouble? Temporarily, not deserted.
I can't remember particular instances at that time. I can remember numerous instances later on, in the battle line.
So the situation got worse as the battalion went through the war?
Later on, well, yes, I mean, when we came back to Italy for the second time, you know, to the same theatre of operation.
I'll come up. But at this stage, morale was low, but it wasn't as bad as it got later when you came back.
Well, I don't think I'm going to generalise too much. You see, we were thoroughly wet through then. But you see, I put down then, obtained bivouac and spent slightly more comfortable night. But then the next day, the sun came out, got thoroughly dry, and we were expecting to go out of the line to the left. But then, of course, morale would have rocketed up. So that was, that was only a temporary blip, really, I would think.
Now, eventually, you pulled back to Lavaglia, I think, halfway through February.
Yes.
And then you went back from there to Rocca Monfina, I think it says here.
It wasn't very long before we were taken out of the line altogether. Oh, we went further back, sorry. I thought you meant return to something.
No,
we went back because we were destined to come out of the line altogether.
Now, were there any rumours as to where you were going? Or did you know what was happening?
No, I don't remember. I can't remember. Yes. But then within a week, I mean, we must have cleaned up and we must have gone back by road to Naples, where we embarked on a motor vessel, a Sobieski, a Polish ship, and actually had been converted. It was a landing ship infantry, actually, converted for that purpose. And I think it may have been used at Anzio. But we sailed the next morning, and I've got a note here, destination unknown, direction south. Well, we could hardly gone north of Naples, I suppose. But And then we, I didn't know where we'd gone, clearly, because the next day I woke to see Messina in Sicily on the starboard side. So we'd obviously gone through the straits there. Anyway, then we turned to the east, sighted the coast of Africa, Benghazi, and I see most of the time there, I was playing bridge with the padre and the doctor, and then a chap called Brian Tracy, who was a terribly nice fella, who sadly got killed in the Gothic line. He came from the Yorkshire monks and was transferred to us. Right?
Right.
So then, of course, I mean, I don't know exactly when we knew. Obviously, we identified the North Coast of Africa. But in due course, I think it was on the 26th of February, we docked at Port Said and disembarked there and travelled south by train along the Suez Canal and went to a big army camp there, a tented camp in the desert, at a place called Kassassin.
What were you doing while you were at Kassassin camp?
Well, officially, we were building reinforcements and, bringing up the strength and preparing to go up into Palestine for training.
What was the quality of the reinforcements you were getting, and where were you getting them from?
Well, I was a 100% commander. I don't know exactly. A number of them were gunners, a number were from other infantry regiments. I mean, I'm pretty quiet of their own intelligence. Some were newly commissioned. Chaps who'd done well as in terms of one of those things had their faith in the battle, and then were commissioned. And I think probably, I think, in quote one or two, I suspect, Daniel Dodd, who became an audience of the first battle, and also what we had to do was we had to go run up the vehicle and set off to go up into the factory. I think I got information from my unofficial guy. Which we spent 2 days there. We left at 5:30 in the morning. And we drove up in Congo. About 250 miles of distance. It must have been up to the Gaza Strip. And so up into a camp near Nathan. Two calm camps. You're telling me about that?
Yes, what were you doing there?
Well, what we were doing, what we did in the event, was not what we meant to do. We had a bit of a break there, we took some bit of build up the train and that sort of thing. And the thing was that we were in the range of the Tel Aviv, which was recreation in the evening. And so the groups on the selected were quite fun. We allowed many people to go up. We were also struggling. And
Now, there were some disturbances in Tel Aviv while you were there, and you actually, according to your regimental history, had to actually send patrols to help the Palestine police. Do you remember much of that, and were you aware of what was going on? Hang on, before we go on then, what was a platoon commander's and sergeant's course? Let's just pick that up first. So you were doing that and then or started it and you got the war. And what were you actually doing when you got there? Did they obey the curfew, or were you? How did you organise these different sorts of patrols? What was the difference between them? Or do you not remember? How many of you would go out on a patrol?
You know, three It didn't last very long.
Did you do any house searches or things like that?
I don't remember any house searches. I think we did. I think we did. On the 21st of March, so next week, one of the guests, a girl of 14 who was facing up her legal conference. But anyway, soon after that, the curfew was lifted.
Now, what about, did you work with the Palestinian police, or were you doing this independently?
Not at my level. I didn't get the left. I remember too much. I remember those two girls. I remember the streets.
No one attacked you, though? So that went on for not much longer?
No, not much longer. No, on Monday the 3rd of April, I see it. I went back to the thing of London Church. And then my diary dried up, so I was just very busy.
Now, on the 11th of April, according to Stringer's book, you moved to Urama near Lake Tiberias, where you went to a lot of platoon and company exercises, and also infantry tank cooperation work. Do you recall that at all? What sort of things were you doing? Anything new? Infantry tank things, a little.
You
don't remember it? But you don't remember this infantry tank cooperation business?
Not especially that they can connect to that.
How were you meant to cooperate? Why not?
Well, because I rely so much They install a telephone on the outside of the cable.
Right, so what's the next thing you remember in Palestine or the Middle East? Golem Heights. Golem. What were you doing there? Now, when you got back to Egypt, because I don't think much happened on the way back, you lost your colonel, Preston, who'd made. That's when he changed. Worrell took over. What did you think of losing Preston and gaining Worrell, so to speak? Worrell had been in second in command, I think. Was he a good enough colonel, or was he a bad colonel? At this point, you got news you'd be going back to Italy, or rumour followed by confirmation. How did you feel about that? I mean, you'd had quite a hard stint of fighting, as you said, 5 months and 4 days leave, but. I mean, were you nervous of it, or how did you feel in yourself? Right. So you went back, I think, on the 3rd. You got back on the 3rd at Naples on the 3rd of July. Do you remember the trip back? Anything untoward? Now, there then followed quite a lengthy period of more training and various events, you know, movements. What do you remember of that period, before the battles of the Gothic line? What with? July the 3rd, you got back. Then, 7th or 8th of August, they had a grand fete. I think you'd be away that way. So you'd missed everything up to San Marino of the Gothic line from the 27th of August when the offensive opened right through to San Marino. That's you weren't there. was San Marino. We've looked at the book, I'll not pretend we haven't, and it's on around about the 19th or 20th of September that San Marino starts to be mentioned, which is not long after Germano. You think you probably came back about then, although you're not absolutely certain.
Right. Thank you.